This is All In. I'm Matt Pelzer. It's been a long year, to be sure, and today is the day that has made it even longer for some. All eyes are on Election Day 2020 to determine not only the president, but also Indiana's governor, attorney general, a few key House races, and a host of down-ballot choices. But who are the people who make it all possible? And what do they do? Today, I'm talking with four individuals from all across the state whose jobs are to make sure Indiana voters get to the booth and get counted. Of course, today's show is pre-taped. It'd be a big ask to make these folks take time out of their days today. So I spoke with them late last week and yesterday. My first guest is Vandenberg County Clerk of Circuit Court, Carla Hayden. So how long have you been involved in elections in Vandenberg County?
Well, this is my fourth year as clerk. I previously was in the clerk's office for 8 years, so this would make 12 years total that I've done elections.
And, I mean, in 12 years, okay, so that takes me back to 2008. We had the 2008 election, we had 2012, 2016, and when you look back at all of those, what do you remember?
Actually, I was not here during those. I was here from 1997 until 2004, and then there was a break in between, and then I've been here the last 4 years.
Oh, okay.
So I was here for the Bush-Gore election, which was really exciting.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, let's go back to that. I remember that very vividly. But was there anything to write home about in Vandenberg County? I mean, most of the news about that came out of Florida.
We were pretty normal for that, other than there was a huge voter turnout. We knew who our winners were that night. So we weren't like Florida where they were counting for days and days, but we were on postcards like Florida was. So that was one of those things when we were watching Florida go through that and talking about the dimpled chads and pregnant chads and hanging chads. We knew what they were talking about. And what came out of that was everybody went away from the punch card system and adopted a new voting system. In that case, we adopted what's called a DRE, a direct recording. And we were using those up until this election right here. And we bought new election equipment over the summer.
So what are you using now?
What we're using now is it's a hybrid system, but it has a voter verified paper audit trail.
And what does that mean?
That means that on our system, the voter still makes their selections on a touch screen, but it is just a marking device. And once they're satisfied with their selections, they'll hit print, and it actually prints out a ballot that shows everyone that that person has voted for. So the voter can look at that, say, yes, this is everybody that I meant to vote for. And then it is fed through a scanner by the voter and dropped into a ballot box. And those are retained in case we should need those for a hand count of some kind, but when they run it through that scanner, it also tabulates those votes using a code that's at the bottom of the ballot. So we don't have to hand count everything, but we do have the ability to hand count if we need to. And the voter is also confident that their selections are as they chose them. If for some reason somebody looks and says, that's not who I meant to vote for, we can void that ballot and they can start over.
That seems really similar to my early voting experience. And speaking of early voting, has there been a lot of early voting in Vandenberg County this year?
Oh, yes. We've so far in person, 28,997 people had cast their ballots in person. And we had also received 13,807 ballots by mail.
With so much early voting, I mean, what is that going to make Election Day look like, do you think? I mean, it's really hard to tell anything these days, but with so many of those early voting opportunities, is it really going to help things on Tuesday?
We believe that there will also be a huge turnout on Tuesday. We've joked that there's not going to be anybody left to vote, but of course there is. There's about one-third of the registered voters in Vandenberg County have already voted in some manner. But I, based on this, I've said that voter apathy is not an issue for this election. We thought maybe today, because it was raining in Vandenberg County, it was raining somewhat heavily, that maybe that would make a difference. Maybe people wouldn't stand in line outside the early voting places. But I went to deliver supplies to one of the early voting places, and there was a line of people with umbrellas standing outside around the block, waiting to get in. So they're not deterred by bad weather or anything else. They are eager to vote, and they'll do what it takes to do that.
That sounds like pretty good news to me. So I guess if voters are planning on voting on Election Day, or maybe they just haven't been able to get out to vote early, what should they plan for or prepare for this year that they might not have had to think about in years past?
One, I would be prepared to wait. Don't think that you're going to just run in and run out and vote real quickly, because that's probably not going to happen. If they a voter has difficulty standing for a period of time, they might want to bring a lawn chair with them. We've seen that happen already with our early voting sites. People come with their lawn chair, with something to read or something to occupy them while they're waiting in line. So I would recommend doing that. And, of course, to make sure that they have their government-issued photo ID with them so that they are able to cast their ballot.
When we think about election personnel, and you're in that camp, I mean, we mostly picture poll workers. They're the most visible people. But when we look behind the scenes, who's there and what are they doing?
Well, we've had a staff here that part of the staff started in early August or mid-August, and the rest of them started in September. But the first ones, the first line that they do is they start getting all those absentee ballot applications for voting by mail, and they process all of those. Then on September 19th, we started mailing out all of those ballots for that had been requested up to that point. There is are a lot of things that we have to do. One is go back to when the candidates started filing to run for office. We have to get all of those names together. We have to get with our vendor and create the ballots that people are going to vote on, make sure that all of those are right, and we send those out to the election board and to the party chairman, make sure everybody reviews that, make sure everybody's name is on that, everybody's name is spelled correctly. All of those things, have everybody proof those. Once we've said that they're good to go, then we approve it for the vendor, and the vendor, like I said, prints those ballots and starts programming our election equipment so all of the names are in there for the voters to select. Then, like I said, we start processing absentee ballot requests. We also start getting the supplies together that will be needed on Election Day. Then we have to get together the various teams that work at the early voting sites, and those people have to be trained. Poll workers have to be trained. So there is takes a lot of people to bake this cake.
Absolutely. How many people do you have in each polling site?
It varies. We're a vote center county. We have 22 vote centers. We allocate staffing and equipment based on our previous turnouts at those locations. Some of them are more popular than others with voters. Our most popular vote center by far is always Washington Square Mall. And even if you tell people who are standing in line at Washington Square Mall that they can go down the street and vote at Kay's school, they will say, no, I vote here. And so people are creatures of habit, and that's what they do. Even though with vote center counties, you can go to any vote center anywhere and cast your ballot. You're not assigned to a specific location.
Has it been any harder this year with everything that's gone on to coordinate personnel? I mean, at the polling places I've gone to before, a lot of the workers have been older people who might be in an at-risk category. Has it been hard to find people?
We have seen a shift in that. In Vandenberg County, the parties get the poll workers. They recruit them. And so I talk to those people who are in charge of that for the parties on a regular basis, and they give me their list on a regular basis. We have seen the shift some from some of the older workers deciding to sit these out for their own concerns, for their health. And what we've seen is some of the younger people step up. We had quite a few people from one of the high schools show up, students, because we can use students that are under 18 and in a couple of the positions. So those people have been recruited as replacements for the some of the older people that have decided not to work these elections.
Would your job be made any easier? And this is complicated and controversial to some, but I'm just curious, would your job be made any easier if we were a no-excuse vote-by-mail state?
It depends on how that is structured. There was a question about whether we could have done that in the primary.
Sure.
And that was discussed. And what I had told the Secretary of State when she asked me, as a larger county, what would you think about this? And I said, we're not prepared for that. We're not structured for that. I said, for example, we're already having this issue, even though we're not a vote-by-mail state, is where do I put all the ballots? We have to provide for storage for all of that. And I'm sure because other states are doing it, if all of those pieces were put into place and we were set up for it and prepared to do that, we could make it work. But we couldn't do it on the fly. We couldn't decide in April that, oh, we're just going to mail ballots to everybody and have them all mail them back to us, because, like I said, we're not prepared for that. We're not set up for that. There would have to be a lot of things changed and discussed and planned for to do that. I don't know that it would make my job any easier. Some days it feels like it might, and some days I'm thinking, oh, I don't know about that. So I'd have to see, maybe visit another state where they do it and see exactly how they do it, because it would take a lot of education here also.
Well, and just time to get everything in place. Like you said, there is a lot more to think about. I guess one more question. You mentioned, you know, anticipating long lines on Election Day. Are there any potential problems that you've thought about having a contingency plan for, things that you're prepared for should they happen on Election Day?
Well, the one I get asked about a lot is if there's a power outage. That's the one people ask about a lot. And we do have contingency plans for that. The immediate one is that everything, all of our equipment has battery backup to it. So nothing's going to lose anything, and they can keep on voting people even if they do lose power. We also have worked with EMA, Emergency Management Agency, here to provide generators if we should need to on Election Day at a location. So those are the first things people ask about.
Carla Hayden, sounds like you're all set. Vandenberg County Clerk of Circuit Court. Carla, thank you so much for your time, and best of luck on Tuesday.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Carla and I spoke late last week. Today we're talking to Indiana election personnel. Up next, we'll hear from two election judges in Fort Wayne, one who's working the polls for the first time today, and one whose first year was the last presidential election. She's been back every year since. We'll find out why. I'm Matt Pelster. Back in 2 minutes. This is All In. All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Today we're talking to election personnel from across the state, the people, the Hoosiers who are facilitating democracy. These interviews were conducted yesterday. We now have Deanna Watson, who is a judge for a polling place in Allen County, Indiana. She's at the West Alliance Church in Fort Wayne. Deanna, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, as I understand it, this is your first election that you're working?
Yes. Yep, this is my first time.
And what got you interested in trying it out this time?
Well, I had heard just through the grapevine and social media that Allen County was in need of poll workers. So I'm healthy and able to help. So I just thought that would be something I could do this year.
You're healthy and you're able to help. I mean, was that part of it? You thought maybe you'd fill a gap that might otherwise not be there under normal circumstances? Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of poll workers are in a stage of their life where they may be a little bit older, retired, and this year that could put them at risk for getting sick. So I just thought I could help by filling in that gap and allow people that may want to stay home this year to stay home.
And are you yourself worried at all about potentially getting sick on Election Day, being in that space with all of those folks?
So we definitely will be taking precautions at the polling locations. We will have everything spread out so that those waiting in line can be social distanced. The workers will have masks and gloves, as well as hand sanitizer, as well as the people coming into the building to vote. So I personally, in my personal life, take precautions. I'm wearing masks at work. So I think as long as everyone takes precautions, I think we'll be okay.
Have you been doing other election-related work leading up to today?
Yeah, so I have been phone banking. We're not canvassing this year, but I've been doing some phone banking and texting.
Is that through a particular group?
Yeah, I'm a union member, so I'm a member of UAW Local 2209, and I help with our community action program that deals with our union endorsed candidates and phone banking to our members and contacting our members about our endorsed candidates. So I help with that.
So you're a UAW member. That tells me that you have another job. Why are you able to be away from that job today?
So fortunately, my union has negotiated Election Day as a paid day off. So that is a union negotiated benefit that allows me to do other things on Election Day.
So what goes into your job as a judge? What does the timeline look like? We're speaking on Monday, the day before the election. Are you doing anything today?
So later this afternoon, I'll be headed to our polling location where I'll be working to help set up the machines and get them ready. And then starting at 5 a.m. tomorrow, we will be back at the polling location to get all of the machines ready to go for all the residents to start coming to vote. And then in the evening, after the polls close, we will be responsible for tallying all of the results and delivering them to the election board.
And do you know anything about the area where this polling place is, West Alliance Church in Fort Wayne? Is it an older area? Is it an area that might contain a lot of at-risk people? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, it's actually, I live in the area. So fortunately, it's very close to home for me. I think, it's a mixture. We have quite a few elementary schools in the area. So I think there are a lot of families. But as we know, there are all different types of things that could put somebody at risk. So we'll definitely just do what we can to follow all the safety precautions. So hopefully none of the residents here have to worry about putting themselves at risk.
Did you have to do any training to get to the position that you have?
So all of our, we do have to do training. There was virtual training. The election board put together videos that would go through step by step all of the duties that you have before, on, and after Election Day. So we've completed that. And then when we go tonight to set up the machines, the inspector will go through an overview of what our responsibilities are, just to check in with everybody.
Was there anything brought up in that training about safety of other kinds? I mean, this being the weird year that it is, was there anything that was brought up in the training or any kind of pre-talk that, concerned you in any way?
No, there hasn't been anything in the training. I think I voted early personally, and there weren't any issues. Everyone in line was respectful. All the workers were respectful. Everything went okay that way. So I'm just going to stay optimistic and say that, Election Day will be fine. I know there are some very contentious topics this election, but in my experience, voting since I've been able to vote, I have not experienced any issues with that.
Have you learned anything about the election process that you didn't know before or that was particularly interesting to you?
I mean, that's always a bonus of volunteering, is you get to learn a little bit more about the process. So this will be something new for me. I'm sure if you catch me after the election, I might have a little more to add. But right now, I'm just looking forward to being able to help out and learn a little bit about the process.
It might be a little early to ask this question right now, but I guess from where you are right now, and again, we're talking in the middle of the day on Monday, the day before, but do you think you'd be interested in doing it again sometime?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, it's definitely going to be a long day, which is okay. That's kind of the gig. That's what I signed up for. But yeah, I mean, if the need were there, sure.
What are your hopes for the day? And you don't have to get political or anything like that, but what are your hopes for how your day is going to go and how that particular polling place might turn out as far as people who show up, what they do, whether or not they agree to wear masks, things like that? What is your hope for Election Day this year?
Yeah, I just hope that we have a good turnout based on early voting. I think that, I mean, we should. It's been pretty steady after the early voting locations opened up. So I'm just hoping it's a good turnout and that people are able to get through the line quickly. And, you know, like I said, everyone just stay respectful of one another and it should go well.
Deanna Watson is a judge for a polling place in Fort Wayne, West Alliance Church. Deanna, thank you so much for your insight and best of luck on Election Day.
All right. Thank you so much.
We'll now hear from a judge at the New Haven Community Center near Fort Wayne. Maria Norman is with us, and it is not her first election. Maria, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So how many general elections have you done?
I have done, oh my goodness, several. I started working the polls in 2016.
Oh, big year to start.
Yeah. And then I've also worked every primary since then as well. So they all just kind of start to run together.
Well, but I mean, since you started in 2016, I mean, that was a presidential election, of course. And it was contentious, as is this year. Was that a trial by fire, or was it pretty simple and peaceful where you were?
All things considered, pre-COVID, it was actually really exciting to work that election. I think when you start with a presidential election, it kind of gets you going just because there are so many more people who vote during a presidential election versus the smaller local elections. So that one was a lot of fun. And I think that all of the poll workers just have a really great sense of camaraderie. And if it is your first time, they're so generous. You know, this is what you do. This is what you should say. I just felt like I was welcomed with open arms when I started working the polls the first time.
Why did you decide to do it in the first place there in 2016? What was it about it?
I just love my community and I love politics. Anything about government just excites me. And so I was like, what is one way that I can help and get involved and do more? And I felt like there were always people asking for poll workers. And I was like, you know what? I could probably take a vacation day at work and do that. And so it's kind of a interesting reason to take a vacation day, I guess.
But well, it's not exactly a vacation, is it?
No, not at all. I think I work harder when I work the polls than I do when I go to work. So,
So you've also worked primaries, right?
Yes.
And did you work this past primary?
I did. Yeah. So that was the first election or, you know, poll working with COVID. And so there were lots of precautions put in place both for the voter and the poll worker. So voters have to vote with a glove and they have to stand 6 feet apart while they're standing in line. And the poll workers, we have safety gear that we're wearing, and then we are sanitizing voting machines after people vote as well. So that added an additional dimension of, you know, tasks that we need to complete during the day.
And I've heard that on the issue of campaign materials and things like that, that, you know, apparel is obviously a part of that. People may choose to wear a T-shirt or a hat that endorses a candidate, but you actually can't do that in a polling place. Have you ever had to deal with that?
Yes, several times. So we typically have campaign workers from individual campaigns handing out materials as people are walking in to vote. And so a lot of the times I know the person in the spring, the person that was handing out the glove to the voter would say, and you need to throw that in the trash. We wouldn't allow the paraphernalia to come because a lot of times people just grab it and then it's still in their hand out as they come in to cast their vote. And so it's like, take a glove, throw that away. And so we've had people wear hats in and we've kindly asked them, can you take your hat off and stick it in your pocket? If they have a t-shirt on, it's, you know, can you close your jacket, or you're going to need to go home and change, or flip your shirt inside out. We do adhere to those rules, yes.
And are there more or fewer voting locations in the area this year? I mean, with all of the variables that have come our way, how has it changed the look of the election?
Yeah, that's a great question. I believe we normally have 120-ish polling locations, and we're down to 70. And so they have consolidated some precincts, which in terms of volume, I know we have about 5 additional voting machines that we'll set up this evening at our polling location just to deal with that increased number of voters. And then we also have an increased number of poll workers. So normally we have a staff of maybe 5. We have a staff of about 9. So we are anticipating a larger volume just due to the fact that we may have a couple more precincts than we normally do under normal circumstances.
When it comes to helping people out, I mean, this is going to be a very, very different election. So many people have already voted early. Some are voting absentee by mail. But we are expecting record turnout, and that includes on Election Day. I mean, when you go into your job, and we're recording this on Monday, the day before. So tomorrow, in what way will, when you come to the end of it, you be able to say, that was a success. I helped this many people in this way, whatever it might be. What would you say to that?
I think the most exciting part is when you get first-time voters. So normally what I do when I greet the voter that I'm going to help out is, you know, hi, thank you so much for coming out to cast your ballot. I ask them if they're familiar with the voting machine. And a lot of times people are familiar with the voting machine. But the first-time voters are always like, no, this is my first time. And so it's just always so sweet. And I'll just, you know, this is great. I'm so glad that you came out. Congratulations. Thank you so much. And then I go through, you know, the voting machine, how to vote. I just love it when people say, thank you so much for volunteering today, because I don't think until I was a poll worker that I realized how much of your day and your time that you're giving up to work the election. And so it's nice that people notice that you've dedicated your day to this, you know, thing for everybody that's across the nation. I think ultimately when you get to the end of the day, it's exciting to see the numbers. So as people come in to vote on the iPads, it will actually tally the number of people that have come in. And so we kind of keep like an hourly, this is how many people have come in. And I know for my polling location, the numbers are normally pretty low, but I know for primaries, we got a couple thousand. And so for our location, that was pretty good because I think we probably only ever got around 1,000. And so when you get more voters, it also makes your day go by so much faster because you're just busy and talking to people. And everybody loves the I voted sticker. So there's always that. If everything else goes wrong, everybody's always excited about the sticker.
I mean, it sounds like you are eager to get the day underway, but are you also looking forward to it being over?
Yes and yes. I just love voting. I tell people that I love voting day like most people love Christmas. So I don't normally willingly wake up at 4 a.m. ever, but on election day, I'm just like, well, it's 4, let's get this day started. but I think like most Americans, even if you love politics and you love government, you get kind of sick and worn down from all of the, you know, mailers and the signs and the commercials. And so as excited as I am about tomorrow, I am probably just as excited for Wednesday, although a little apprehensive and worried, but just as excited for Wednesday to come so that all of the election stuff can be done.
Why are you apprehensive or worried about Wednesday? What might come on Wednesday that you're anxious about?
I think that I am most anxious just because our country has been so divided. I have a sign in my front yard, and my neighbor across the street has a different sign in their yard. And I feel like I should bake them cookies and say, you know, just because we had different signs in our yard doesn't mean that we can't still be friends. I just hope Americans wake up on Wednesday, and regardless of who wins and who didn't win or where we're at in the count, I hope people wake up and they still want to be united as Americans, and, you know, love your neighbor. And I hope that there isn't riots and damage and unrest. I want all of the unrest to go away. And when this election is over, we still are all going to be Americans. We're still all going to be neighbors in a community. And we need to take care of one another. So I hope that people wake up on Wednesday with that mindset. And I really hope that there isn't any of that stuff.
Oh, Maria, I wish more people felt the way you do. Cookies. Cookies is the answer. Maria Norman,
cookies is always the answer.
Of course. You're a judge at the New Haven Community Center near Fort Wayne, a polling location. Maria, thank you so much for your time and best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Up next, a poll inspector in Lake County shares some concerns about the pandemic and the contention surrounding this year's election. I'm Matt Pelser. Back in 90 seconds, this is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Today we're talking to election personnel to find out what it's like for them on this big day, and indeed what it's been like leading up to today and what it's looked like in past elections. And if you hadn't guessed, since election workers are a little busy today, we are not live. These interviews were pre-taped, so we can't get your questions or comments to our guests. But the online conversation is always going on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana. We're now going to get some perspective from Northwest Indiana. We found Karen Krozak through ProPublica's Election Land. She's an inspector for a polling place in Lake County, and she joins us now. Good afternoon, Karen.
Good afternoon, Matt.
So how long have you been doing this kind of work?
Oh, at least 10 years.
10 years. Why did you choose to do it 10 or so years ago?
Well, I was enchanted by a candidate who was running for state treasurer for the state of Indiana, and he was later elected South Bend mayor. And I asked him what I could do to support his nomination and election, and he suggested I go down and become a precinct committee person, suggested I come down and go to become a state delegate, and that led to being a precinct committee person, and that led to involvement in elections, and that's my story.
You're now an inspector. What goes into being an inspector at a polling place? What do you have to do?
Well, that's an interesting point, Matt. I do not have a job description, but based on past training, basically the inspector runs the election. We start it by announcing the elections are about to begin. We conduct the business of the election. We close it. We manage the vote tallies and all that sort of stuff. We're where the rubber meets the road. We're not the final authority, but we're the people that run it.
Is there something fulfilling about being a poll worker? Why do you come back every year?
Because I really believe in the value of voting. It's the essence of democracy.
But this year is going to be a little different. First, I want to ask what problems you have seen in years past and how you've maybe dealt with those in a, I guess, quote unquote, normal year. What kind of problems have there been?
The most remarkable year so far was 2016. I had a voter who had a hat on that advocated for a political party. That's not allowed in Indiana. He would not remove it, and nothing I said was going to convince him. So I finally said, well, fine, wear your hat, but you're not voting. And that convinced me needed to take the hat off. In 2016, I had at least 200, maybe 250 people lined up in the polling place waiting to vote on the last day before voting day. And that was a long, hard day. We occasionally have people who decide they want to electioneer it while they're in line. You can't do that. You have to, you know, stop folks. But I would say my biggest problem on a personal basis has been old people or very infirm people who come to vote and they're facing an hour, 2 or 3 hour wait. That is just unbelievable to me, since Indiana requires that persons unable to access the voting place easily because of disabilities, we have to come to them. And that's the best kept secret in the world. It is called Travel Board. Legally, we send out a nice Republican, a nice Democrat, and a nice voting machine to your home. We have to do that for you. They will vote you on exactly the same machine that you would have had you come to the polls. And your vote will count. This is how we vote nursing homes. This is how we vote people in the hospital. This is your right as an Indiana voter, and it's the best kept secret I know of. I have talked to candidates who don't know about Travel Board. I've talked to lots of people who have no business trekking up a ramp to get to vote. It's taken them an hour to get from their car into the voting place. And I say, why don't you do Travel Board? This, you know, it's the same machine. It's exactly the same process. It takes place on or near the regular election day. And it's your right.
But is it being offered this year with everything else?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But try to find it on the voter portal. It's there. And yet every year I have somebody that is barely able to get up to the front of the line. I have them there voting, and I always say, have you ever heard of Travel Board? You don't really have to do this. And this year, of course, we're saying if you're afraid of COVID, you still have to come. Even if you're 64 years old and disabled, you still have to come to the polling place.
Have you been involved in any early voting sites so far this year?
Very indirectly. I drive by, I stop in now and then just to see what's going on. I made a sort of a courtesy call last week to mine to ask about police protection.
Why was that?
Because guns are allowed in line. And if you've got concealed carry, you can conceal your gun while you're voting, because we certainly don't want to take away your right to vote.
That's a good segue to ask what you're concerned about this year. Is that among the list of things that you're concerned about in this very strange election?
I don't think we'll confront. I've heard no stories of anybody bringing a gun to vote, but that is a very real possibility. As I understand it, and I'm no lawyer, I can stand outside a polling place bearing arms, and there's, as long as I don't get confrontational, there's absolutely nothing you or any other police officer can do to stop me. So that's my number one concern in terms of seriousness, is what are we going to do about people bearing arms? But my real number one concern is people showing up with symptoms or even without symptoms and not wearing masks. And we may not enforce a mask usage. We have been supplied with a ton of masks, and if somebody comes and forgets their mask, I can offer them one, but I cannot require that somebody wear a mask. My last concern is with guidance. Training is not required for people who are manning the polls. It's recommended. There is payment if you do go to training, which is online this time, but I can pull anybody off the line of voters who is willing to do so and sort of impress them like you would a sailor. If I need a poll worker, I can just say, hey, you would you like to be a judge? I can't tell them exactly what a judge is because I don't have a job description, but I can talk them into being a judge in the moment. So we don't have training requirements. We don't have job descriptions. And we really don't have this is the step to achieve your goal sort of statement. We do have a handbook that is very helpful. We do have some online training that is very helpful. But there is no hands-on training, and there is no list of tasks that must be performed in this order or anything like that. We don't have any mechanics nearby. Should we have a problem, we will call the election board. And from what I understand, sometime between half an hour and 45 minutes later, a mechanic will come to work on the machines and try to reestablish voting.
When it comes to COVID-19, I mean, it sounds like you're concerned about the other voters who will be there primarily. But would you say that you yourself are in an at-risk group?
All of my crew is 65 years old or older. We are in a confined space. Many of my workers are not in the best health. One of them has been working early voting, and I'm sure she's exhausted. Yeah, I'm concerned.
Do you have ways of protecting yourself? Are there things that you're doing in case someone comes in without a mask on and refuses to wear one?
The first thing will be I will offer them a mask. If they refuse, I have brought some plastic barriers myself, and I will hand those to anybody near that person that wants to have protection. The third thing I will do is, based on what my earlier poll worker does, I'll call the police and ask them if they would have a discussion with them about the value of wearing a mask. That's all I can do. And we do have plastic barriers between the voter and the clerk, but that has nothing to do with the judge or the inspector.
Are you satisfied, I guess, with the level of PPE that is available, things like those barriers, and, of course, the voluntary use of masks? I mean, there's only so much you can do, but do you think enough is being done?
Definitely not. Dr. Fauci has suggested that this is transmitted through the air. A paper mask being worn by the worker and other voters is not going to stop the transmission of COVID from someone who is refusing to wear a mask. We need to have plastic or some kind of a barrier between ourselves and all of the people who are working at the polls and all of the other voters. That has been a dispute in the area that I visited last week. The other voters expressed alarm at a person who refused to wear the mask.
Some areas are more red than others. Some are more blue. How might you describe politically the area where you're working?
We're Lake County. We're pretty blue.
And so with this being a particularly contentious election, I mean, the presidential election is always a big deal, but this year there are passionate voices on all sides, some extreme. Are you worried about that part of it?
It may be expressed in refusal to wear masks or comply with social distancing requests, but I don't think this is primarily a Republican versus Democrat. I think this is an extremist versus a moderate issue. People on extremes on either side, in my opinion, are the ones who are going to cause a problem. Otherwise, we just want to get in and vote and get out. So I wouldn't attribute that to mainstream political parties at all.
Is there a connection, would you say, between those extremes, the people on those extremes, and the refusal to do something as simple as wear a mask?
Sure. This is definitely disruptive. It's going to increase the amount of time that it takes to conduct elections. It's going to increase the spread of COVID. And it's a completely erroneous, fictitious argument, an issue that doesn't exist. If the Election Commission had just extended the right to vote by mail, like they did in the primary, if that had been extended to the general election, most of this would evaporate. Why do you have to vote in person if you're concerned about the spread of COVID? That makes no sense at all. And the Election Commission has not met since August to consider this issue. And I would emphasize that the commission consists of four people. It split down party lines. Two Republicans voted not to extend the right to vote by mail. The two Democrats voted against it. Oh, and while I'm on that, people who requested a vote by mail ballot were told until the middle of last week that they could bring it back in and vote in person if they so chose. They can do that on November 3rd. But middle of last week, the Secretary of State retracted that and said that people who were already standing in line with their ballot requests for vote by mail, would not be allowed to vote by turning it in. So in the middle of the stream, we changed horses. People who had already waited an hour or two to vote were told they could not vote, but would have to come back on Election Day. That's unconscionable.
I want to go back to this idea that training is not required.
Right. Except for inspectors. And I don't know that for sure. But on all past elections that I've participated in, the inspector has to be trained.
But can that training come through experience, since you have also done other things? Or is that a specific training for the inspector?
There are very specific things that have to be done in a particular order. I have a set of forms that's a good half inch long, and this pile of forms has to be done correctly or the election can be called in question. I have to start the election at 6 o'clock in the morning or there are consequences. In the training that I went to online, they said, be sure you do this correctly or you will be called before the Board of Elections. There are a lot of things that need to be done the right way, and I appreciate that. But how do I do that if I've got people working for me who have had no training?
Do you think
they don't know how to do it?
Do you think you'll do it again after this year?
No.
You don't think
I
so?
I really don't. I'm 75. Unless I see a change in the way that elections are put together here, when we're actually putting people's health and safety online? No. I don't want somebody with concealed carry in my line. Not that I don't trust first responders and other people like that. I do. But guns and germs are real issues for voting. I just want to get in. I want to vote. I want to get out.
Karen Krozak is an inspector for a polling place in Lake County, Indiana, and she wrote into ProPublica's Election Land about her Election Day concerns. Karen, thanks for sharing those with us, and we wish you a safe Election Day. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Matt.
And a reminder, we will be live tonight on most of these stations at 7 p.m. Eastern with statewide coverage of the 2020 election. Of course, we don't know what, if any, results may come back before 8 p.m. when we are finished, but we will be on with our team of Indiana Public Broadcasting reporters, as well as political science experts, to talk about this big election once the polls close. And of course, most of these stations will be sticking with NPR through the night as results come in, and NPR will not be calling the election until the Associated Press does. And it's a very real possibility that that may not come for a few days. Patience may be necessary. And those of us who are old enough to remember the 2000 election know just how bad that can get. Hang in there. Our producers are Drew Dodlin and Micah Yason. Scott Cameron's our managing editor. Adam Gross is our technical director and composed our theme. Chris Flood is our engineer. If you'd like a podcast of this show or any past show, you can find it wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to subscribe so you always know what we're up to. Tomorrow, we'll talk about what the world looks like post-election day. In the meantime, find us on Twitter and Facebook at All In Indiana for topic alerts and discussion. I'm Matt Pelser. Happy voting, safe voting. This is All In.